Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
So imagine a scenario where, let's just say our vice president was charged with a crime, right?
Okay.
Some nonsensical crime that really isn't even a crime. And they're picking a jury for that crime. And those of us on the right who don't like her very much, mainly because she's stupid, we want to get on that jury because we don't like her. That's basically why we don't want to look at the facts. So would that be okay?
No.
No. That's what's happening in New York City. And people have come off this jury. They've documented situations where people have lied, saying, oh, I've never been to a political rally for Biden. I've never done this. And then they dig it up because the other side has dug it up. Now, they just seated a jury of 12 people. They have to get five alternates because I will almost guarantee you that a couple of those alternates are going to be used. They're going to kick a couple of people off this jury. Just seems like this is one of those cases. But there's no possibility for a fair trial.
I'm afraid
when you
not.
Have people looking to get on that thing for a book deal.
A book deal.
Now,
yeah.
There was a trial here that took place a short time ago in March for Daniel Riley. He was the one who took Janae Edmondson's legs away from her last year. He was sentenced today to 19 years in prison, 18 years and 9 months of prison time. I'll kind of segue into a conversation with Steve Butts because he's with us to promote something that is not in any way, shape, or form related to that story. But Steve, I know that was a case that was really important to you. You went to the trial. I know. I don't know if you went to the sentencing today. Janae was there.
No. I was in Jeff City, and I'm just coming back from Jeff City actually right now. But I went to his arraignment originally, and then I went to the trial, and yeah, it meant a lot to me personally. I did not hear what he got. I'm sure that's a pretty stiff sentence.
It's a stiff sentence.
Would you trade your legs for, you know, 19 years?
Well, and the one thing I would say, and I think that you even made this point, I've yet to see just a scintilla, there's your word for it, of remorse from this kid. None.
Yeah, no, Boy, I agree with that. And I've been to a couple criminal trials where, you know, the defendant, I believe, did feel genuinely bad upon reflection and seeing the damage they've done to others, and to not have that at all. But, you know, we don't judge intentions of the heart. We're just judging you by your actions. So,
well, we're going to see you tomorrow on the Reardon Roundtable. We'll talk about this then, but I did want to give you a chance to promote the cleanup day, which is this Saturday. This goes on across the city. You're responsible for a certain portion of this. So what goes on? This is an annual event, right?
Correct. This is an annual event. This is the fifth or sixth year. And, of course, your former colleague, Charlie Brennan, it was a passion of his. And then, you know, there's just a bunch of people who have taken up the mantle, still including Charlie. But for myself, you probably know I live right at 55 in Loughborough. And you know, just for a lot of years, who knows, the trash is just everywhere.
Yes.
And MoDOT is doing a better job, but there's still just tons of trash. And I'm like, of all the things that we complain about the city, and this is in the county, St. Charles County, et cetera, this is something we can do something about. And you might recall us longtime city residents. We would do the Operation Brightside like one weekend a year, like all the neighborhoods of the city. You just got your neighbors and you cleaned up your alley and it just looked great for a weekend or for a week or two. And I'm like, it was free, just a little bit of volunteer labor. And it worked so well, I think we quit doing it on an organized basis. So I'm committed to bring it back. We pick this weekend now every year because it's like Earth Day weekend and people can remember it. It's a spring cleaning. So,
if someone wants to help, what do they need to do?
So here's what you do if you're on the south side anywhere. I will be quarterbacking the group that will meet at 8:30 a.m. at the Carondelet Park Recplex, the YMCA in Carondelet Park, 8:30 a.m. And my colleague, Representative Marlon Anderson, quarterbacks the north side, and they meet at 8:30 a.m. at the O'Fallon Park Recplex. Marlon and his volunteers work south. Our volunteers will work north, and we've got parks, bike trails, entrances to the highway, and we kind of meet somewhere around 70 in Adelaide, just to give you where we're going to meet up.
Well, We'll throw some more plugs in for this tomorrow. And actually, Charlie is going to join me in the 5 o'clock hour because he has a day set out for Monday. So there's going to be a bunch of these cleanups throughout the next couple of days.
Steve Butts.
Yeah, and we'll see you on the roundtable tomorrow.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Right. Bye, Sue. Bye, Mark. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Yeah, you know, you guys know this. For me, Earth Day is a special celebration that I really kind of spend a few days on every year. So Steve's right. I mean, it's
Mark.
Well, at least he has his own wheelbarrow.
Am I right, Fred?
That's right. That's a start.
Yes, it is. Just,
you know, I love this because there's even a story today from Scotland where I think I might bring this up with Kilmeade too. I think I brought it up with Schmidt. They've admitted that these climate goals, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Well, they can't meet them. And there was a legit story that was out of Germany a couple of days ago where the nutbag chancellor there is telling people, hey, if we don't get to net zero, we can't, you know, go down this net zero path. We may not allow you to drive on the weekends.
Whatever.
Let's try that here in this country.
Good
that
grief.
Ought to be very, very interesting. Let's do this here. Kilmeade's coming up, by the way, on the other side of Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Sponsored by Mr. Appliance. Speedy expert service. MrAppliance.com.
All right. I have to tell a story of what happened yesterday. And it involves the mail, which has been a topic around here lately. Michael sent some money. He sent a check out to somebody in Priority Mail out to California. And he thought, okay, well, the guy got the actual envelope for it. You know what these look like, these rectangular things, Priority Mail. Opened it up, no money in it. It was a check, but it never arrived. So Mike thought, well, maybe I, you know, was stuffing envelopes and I just forgot or I didn't put it in the right one. Maybe I mailed it off with my taxes. Maybe. Nope. Got a call from the bank. He canceled the check. He got a call from the bank yesterday that said, someone's trying to, they changed the to whom it was written to their name and tried to get it cashed. And thankfully, it was large enough that the bank called him and said, did you write this check to Jameel, whatever the name was? Nope. So someone had stolen it out of the package.
But are you saying the package then arrived, the Priority Mail arrived,
correct,
and it was sealed?
We don't. That part he doesn't know.
Okay. But it was empty.
It was, there was nothing in it. Because they had, but where did it happen? Did it happen along the way?
Right, yeah.
Did it happen when it was delivered? That's the kind of stuff we don't know.
Yeah, because you would think that would be, I mean, you can't automatically assume it's a United States Postal worker.
No.
But who else had it?
Right. Who else had it? And I don't assume that it was. Maybe it was delivered and somebody got it.
Well, somebody could have gotten it out of that guy's.
Yes. And taken it and then, but there are so many issues now with just mailing things. It makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But that could have been the scenario where it gets delivered.
It could
and
be.
Then whoever is on the other end, somebody from their neighborhood or whatever.
But
yeah.
That person didn't just run off with it.
Oh, no.
They opened it,
left it in there,
closed it,
yes,
and then put it in the mailbox.
Well, that's why I'd like to know if it was sealed, because if it was sealed, that's telling you maybe it was an inside job.
Well, it would have to be, because if you were really going to just steal it, you'd just take and run, right? You wouldn't go through the trouble of putting it, closing it, sealing it back up.
good point, Sue.
That's crazy.
Does your brother want to write another check for any reason? Just send it. We can test this out and see how it works. You can send it
Michael
to...
That was Michael instead of Jeff. I could have Jeff send us a check and see if it arrives. Maybe it'll do it from Houston.
This sounds like a case for... Who's the guy you like, the network announcer?
Yeah. Oh, I see him in my head. Keith Morrison.
Keith Morrison.
Oh, Keith Morrison. It was a lovely day.
What could it have been?
Or was it? Happy National High Five Day. Yes. Ooh. No one knows for sure when the very first high five happened, but the credit usually goes to former MLB coach Dusty Baker and his old teammate Glenn Burke. They were playing for the Dodgers 47 years ago in 1977 when they smacked hands during the last game of the season on October 2nd. In fact, ESPN did a whole 30 for 30 short on this thing. I love 30 for 30.
Those are great. They
and
really
I have
are.
Not seen that one. Yeah. Fans immediately thought it was cool. Dodgers embraced it as their official way to celebrate. And they have given us advice how to never screw up a high five. Instead of looking, when you're going in like this, look at the person's elbow instead of the hand.
Oh, it's good advice.
And that way it will happen because your hand will automatically follow the elbow. And if you look at that, then you're not going to miss.
That's great form advice on the high five scene. It really makes sense when you think of the physiology involved there, because it can be awkward, especially between two men doing a high five, and then it kind of falls apart. But I'm going to challenge the timing on all of this, or at least the timestamp that you offered in the theory there, because, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to convince me that there weren't a couple of cavemen back in the day that took down a saber-toothed tiger and they weren't high-fiving.
No, that's a good question. I mean, if a tree falls in the forest.
Right.
Yes, it may have happened before that. That's the first documented one. On this day in history, 90 years ago in 1934, the first laundromat opened in Fort Worth, Texas. And 58 years ago, oh, this has music because it's my favorite. I don't care what happens. I always play it. In 1966, The Sound of Music won Best Picture.
Everybody sing.
If you don't like Julie Andrews, something's the matter with you. That's all I'm saying. It wasn't up for best song, but it did win in the sound category.
How was that not up for best?
Right?
Okay, I'd like to see the other nominees that year.
And it also took best director.
What year was that?
1966, Fred.
Maybe there's a lot of Beatles competition there.
So. But in movies, though?
In the movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should look that up. 58 years ago today. Okay, this is my favorite thing that comes out every year. But Uber released a list of, first they just said, oh, here are 10 common things that riders left behind over the last year in an Uber. Okay, clothing and luggage and headphones and wallets. And okay, that's great. But my favorite is always their list of some of the weird things people left behind over the past year. Here we go. Here are some of the oddest things people have left in Ubers over the past year. A frontal hair toupee. Two containers with spiders in them, a tray of meat pie, a ceramic cat, a jar of oysters, a candle that says, see you in court, a live pet turtle, a burrito steamer, a fake butt, a paternity test, and a WWE championship belt, and finally, a, quote, large sticker with a dancing cartoon cat that says Spanky Fest on it. And there you have it.
I bet you would have, you could do hours and hours from Uber drivers and the stories that they tell.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm in an Uber, I kind of try to, if, you know, someone's a little, sometimes I don't want to talk, but if there is someone that's in the mood to chat, and I'm in the mood to chat, you ask them for crazy stories. And in Vegas, you get some real doozies.
Oh, I can only imagine.
There's a lot of vomit involved
like.
In Vegas as well. By the way, I do have the answer to the song question if you'd like
me to
share.
Oh, yes, please. What was
it? So here were the nominees in 1966. The winner was The Sandpiper, which was from The Shadow of Your Smile. Cat Ballou was nominated from The Ballad of Cat Ballou.
Oh.
The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, which was, I have no idea. What are the movies involved here? The Great Race, which was Henry Mancini. And then What's New Pussycat was.
Oh, did that win?
Burt Bacharach. No, it was The Sandpiper that won.
Oh, The Sandpiper. Oh, that's so
music
well known.
Music by Johnny Mandel. Lyrics by Paul Francis Webster.
Oh,
there,
well,
but
Johnny
no sound
Mandel.
Of music. But it did win everything else that year, it seems.
Well, that's fair. This is a cute story today. Production of Law & Order SVU was halted for about 20 minutes while Mariska Hargitay helped a little girl find her mother. The little girl got separated from her mom, and she approached Mariska on the set asking for help because she saw the badge and thought she was a real police officer.
So she
walked up and said, can you help me find my mom? And they stopped production, and 20 minutes later, they found mom and everything was fine and they started it again. I just thought that was so cute.
And you of course, you always kind of harken back. You remember who her mother and father were, Jane Mansfield. And
I can't think of his, Mickey Hargitay.
Mickey Hargitay.
Sue's News is brought to you by Mr. Appliance, speedy expert service. Go to MrAppliance.com. Okay, we're going to listen to this. This is today's random fact. Cher was one of the background singers for the Righteous Brothers on You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling. So let's see if we can actually hear it.
This is a good one. I don't know if I've heard this one before. Here we go.
You're trying hard not to show it, but baby, baby, I know it.
Here it is.
You've lost that love.
You can't really tell.
No.
But
that's why it's a random fact.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good little nugget, though, Sue. I like
you
that
one. You can hear the ladies before they go into the chorus if you want to listen back in your car when you can kind of crank it up. But I did that, and I still couldn't tell it was her. But that's it for Sue's News.
All right, wrapping it up here. We'll do it again tomorrow. Jane will join us in the 4 o'clock hour after the Reardon Roundtable. Coming up next, Mr. Kilmeade. We visit with Brian every week. We're going to do it in just a couple of minutes, talking about a variety of things, including crazy protests in Columbia University or at Columbia University today. And they actually, shockingly, made some arrests.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Quite the day on the campus of Columbia University. The New York Police Department had to move in to stop a protest, and they actually did something rather unique in this whole situation in the last 6 months. They arrested protesters. Brian Kilmeade with us for his weekly visit this afternoon. How about that, Brian? How are you?
Yeah, but the numbers were overwhelming. And, you know, you're going to hear some sound, too, of these people saying, we are Hamas. This is in uptown New York City. Now, just think about this. We all studied a lot. You know, do the best you can in your SATs. Very few people can even go on the waiting list at an Ivy League school. So these are the people that are like the best, the smartest guys in the class. And they're at an Ivy League, prestigious Ivy League university. And they are convinced that the future of the country is with the Palestinian movement. And they are pro-Hamas, which means you are pro-terrorist. You're pro-chopping off babies' heads. You're pro-cutting women, cutting babies out of women. You're pro-kidnapping 80-year-olds and 8-month-olds. That's what you're about.
Yeah.
That's what we're hearing on the streets of New York.
So you have
and that's what we're hearing not, and from these students.
Well, here's one of the students. You have a pro-Palestinian organizer who's a student at Columbia, says they can threaten us all they want with police, but at the end of the day, it's only going to lead more to more mobilization. So what they put a bunch of people on buses and took them into custody today, I find that interesting. And it also comes on the heels of, and I didn't hear a lot of the testimony from the new Columbia, you know, the Columbia president who got into trouble 4 months ago on some of this stuff. So this happens all at the same time where she's promising, Brian, to crack down a little bit more. So maybe she did hold to a bit of a promise here.
She called in the cops. They had an encampment. So there's two things. There's protests on the street and there's an encampment on the campus. And they set up these pup tents. You usually set up when, you know, Duke plays North Carolina, you know, in those positive ways when college kids were college kids and had a brain in their head. And you want to make sure you get tickets. So they set that up because they knew the president of their university was going in front of Congress. So they decided, let's make it clear. It was not an aberration. We are pro-Hamas. We are pro-Palestinians. We are against Israel. And then finally, at 7 o'clock in the morning, the Colombian president said, okay, guys, come in and you can get them. And they pushed back. They massed around them. They put a lot of people on buses. They resisted arrests. I know there was at least one arrest last night at about 11:30. They decided this one woman decided she would not be arrested. So she went into jail. Let's hope she stayed, because the only people they're really interested in here is Donald Trump. That's the only person that belongs in jail here. So now you're watching the president call the Palestinian protesters. Now, that's what Congress wants. That's what you want. That's what our listeners want. But maybe on Columbia, the students who run the asylum, who are more powerful and have the professors scared, the ones that aren't pro-Palestinian overtly, and there are a lot, now they're going to find out they're the minority. They're going to need the cops for their own protection because they stood up to do what's right. But maybe this is the rebalancing of our institutions. But is there anybody watching around the country with a brain in their head that likes this country, that thinks it's a good idea to miss a Wednesday and Thursday to protest for the Palestinians? This is or for Iran, and Iran, that country that just bombed another nation with 300 plus cruise missiles, that is hated by their own people. But in America, We're now chanting for them.
It's sickening. It is absolutely sickening. Now, the one thing I would say that's a little encouraging here is I don't know how much time. I spent a lot of time on this a couple of weeks ago in the aftermath of one of these protests at Vanderbilt University, where they made some arrests and they expelled some students as well. And then the whiny snowflake students go out there, and this one kid, and they're wearing masks outdoors, Brian, which made it even better, saying that he was treated better in prison or in jail, because he wasn't in prison. He was treated better in jail than he was in the chancellor's office, where he was busting down windows and shoving and assaulting officers. But they cracked down on him, which was important. So maybe a little bit of a trend in the other direction.
Yeah, well, in Google, they decided to protest their own company because of their pro-Palestinian stance, and evidently they have an Israeli contract. So today, Google fired those employees. But you know who led the example? President Biden hires people because of the color of their skin or their sexual preference. And it turns out no one believes in him. And when he came out for the Israelis, he had a bunch of his staffers protesting against him at the White House, some of which have flat out just quit. But that's what happens when you pick people, put people around you that don't like you. And you pick people because of they check boxes. So when the president didn't fire them, what kind of example is that? That's heartening everybody. That's letting the Google guys stand up and demand it. Look at Disney. Disney had a bunch of employees stand up and, and harass their CEO. So the CEO changes stances on his there's transgender policy. The CEO loses their job. And now Bob Iger comes out of retirement. So these people have to understand. I thought this was a given. You have people that are above you, people that own companies. They're not obligated to keep you employed. So if you want to quit, go ahead and you go protest. But don't expect to keep your job. Don't expect to stay a student if you're going to protest your own university and ignore the cops or fight the cops and allow yourself for 2 days. Can you imagine? And finals week, this is the time when you go in the library, you don't come up for air. And you just say, well, I'm just going to give up 3 days, get a Palestinian headdress, and just go sit in a tent. And then I'm going to get arrested on the street.
I mean, I'm laughing because it is so comical. But, you know, I do want to say this, Brian Kilmeade. I don't want you to be too harsh on the president right now because, look, his uncle was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea, you know, and he's been sharing that story.
Can I apologize now?
Yeah.
So I don't have to handle it tomorrow morning. Yeah, that was another great story. I grew up with Puerto Ricans. I grew up in a black church. I set an all-time record. I was a great truck driver at one point. And here's my uncle. We never got. He died before there was an Air Force in a plane during the war. And he landed around New Guinea where there were cannibals. What? We have not heard this before. So finally, KJP has to answer the question. Was the president's uncle eaten by cannibals? That's where we're at with this ridiculous.
Can't make it up. You can't make it up. Yeah, I don't know. All right, so what's your latest on the Trump trial? You know, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I'd be more than willing to say, look, there's some serious charges here that need to be investigated by a jury, and let's see where this takes us. But these are ridiculous charges that nobody, you know, Paul Morrow was on yesterday. I think he's right. There's not one person on the planet that would have been charged with these particular crimes than Donald Trump.
I know. And you know what's so interesting, the subplot? I don't know how much you guys are running in St. Louis, but you know, when Trump has a few hours, he got invited by the Bodega Association to go uptown in Harlem.
Oh, yeah, we've covered
it. Yes.
Area. Yes.
And did you see how deep that crowd was? Right?
Yes.
10, 15 deep. You know what they were chanting? USA.
Four more years for him.
Yeah. And did you look at the faces? I don't want to judge people by the color of their skin, but they seem to be Hispanic. They seem to be black. And they seem to be white. It turns out in some places there is a melting pot in America. And they were chanting Trump. Now, when he walked into Atlanta to a fast food place, Chick-fil-A, I think they were all black, and they laughed. They had fun with him. One gave him a huge hug. Now, he's willing to do that as a contender. He's willing to take questions while he's on trial. After sitting 8 hours and being rebuked by a judge, it's humiliating. And we can't get a president to tell us what the strategy was in blocking those missiles from coming over into Israel over the weekend. We can't get a president that talked about what went on with the speaker on the phone call on Tuesday. We can't get a president to talk about what is it like to hear death to America in your country and reflective of your policy. Because this president can't do the job. If he could, he would be doing it. But he doesn't understand. Forget the people. The press will record the story. You could even give some remarks, but he does not give us the respect to inform us on what he's doing.
But he does rail about pay for WNBA players while ignoring biological men ruining women's sports. So he does do that. We have to give him some credit for that.
All right, we need the women's vote. And by the way, women aren't stupid. The same way a lacrosse player who's the best in the world does not get to paid as much as a NBA player or Aaron Judge on the Yankees. It's about how much money is in the sport, how much money do you generate. So that's it. The WNBA has been ignored for 20 years, since 97 when it launched, or 98. And for the most part, it loses money, and the NBA absorbs it all. If he cared about it, why doesn't he go buy season tickets somewhere? Why doesn't he go? Why doesn't he have an emergency meeting of all his donors to start sponsoring some of these arenas where the WNBA is at?
Well, yeah. Then he would not be able to play the identity politics game, and I think we know that that is a rhetorical question.
Yeah, we just don't like women.
Yeah,
America doesn't like women. That's right. The problem.
Brian, what's coming up on Saturday night?
Working on a few things, but Jim Trusty's going to break down the week in. He's going to break down the week in these legal trials. He's a former Trump attorney. I'm definitely going to have Mike Rowe on for sure. We're working on a few things. Steve Mosher on this whole China is offering incentives to corporations to export fentanyl into our country while also paying for lobbyists to keep TikTok China owned. But China doesn't care, right? It's a separate company. Right. So we're going to talk about China a little bit with Steve Mosher. And we're looking at a few other guests. Down the line, I got this one guy. Now, everyone, you're going to love this story. Bare knuckle fighting has been going on since 1840 in this country. It started with John L. Sullivan. And we have the family of Bobby Gunn, who's 73-0, now 50 years old. They will turn up in a supermarket. They will turn up in an alley. They'll be run by the Russian mob one day and the Chinese mob the next. And they fight. And they fight with bare knuckles to somebody's knocked out or they quit. And this guy's been the best for 20 years. He tells his story. It is unbelievable. I'm going to feature him. And I think you're all going to be pleased by it.
Well, didn't Christian Bale do a movie that was someone along those lines about the bare knuckle fighting?
Yes. And remember the gangs in New York? Also, do you remember Charles Bronson?
Wait, I'm looking this up. Oh, yeah. It was Out of the Furnace, which was from about 10 years ago with Christian Bale. That was a pretty good movie, actually. Brian
Kilmeade. Yeah, the guy who wrote the story is the lead writer in GQ, and they both came on and told the story. His dad fought him, and because he kept bleeding from his nose, his dad took the cartilage out of his nose. I mean, that's how tough these guys are.
Jeez. Yeah, I'm pretty wimpy compared to that. Kilmeade, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Go get him, Mark.
On 97.1 FM Talk.
Pedro lives out of the Wilshire Hotel. He looks out a window without glass.
Well, I want to give an update. We talked about this with Brian Kilmeade, but they have made, I'm encouraged by this. I will say this, you know, in the aftermath of what happened at Vanderbilt a couple of years ago, at least 108 protesters were in custody, according to police. They had cops in riot gear. I mean, some of this, Sue, we've watched the video here. Can you imagine being a Jewish student at Columbia University?
It would be terrifying.
I think it would be terrifying as well. Listen what they're chanting here. NYPD KKK, right? And then they think about this. They're going to honor all the martyrs. That's what they're saying here.
We will honor all the martyrs.
We will honor all the martyrs.
All the children, sons, and daughters.
Except the Israeli ones who passed away, were killed, I should say.
It really is shocking. Now, okay. That is so frustrating to me because we have I don't even know what happens with our system here. It's not supposed to happen where the EAS is supposed to come on and take over. And that's not even a warning that's for the immediate vicinity. So we do want people to be careful out there. We want you to be safe. As Sue has reported, we do have storms that are coming in. But I would like to talk without an interruption from someone who just cuts my mic. So that's really frustrating. What I was saying is that you have these protesters. They started with this encampment. You had hundreds and hundreds of students that were there chanting some of that stuff. They were forming a human chain around the lawn. But I think this is really going to be fascinating to see in the next few days, especially as the video of this starts to, you know, make its way across the country, what the reaction is going to be to some of these people who have defended this nonsense. It's just sickening. Now, the Columbia University president testified once again on Capitol Hill yesterday, and I don't know if I have any of that right now, but it was a situation where she kind of came back around and had to do a mea culpa because of what she said in the fall. Okay, one more thing. You're probably going to hear this at Fox News here at the top of the hour, but they've picked a jury in the Trump trial. Now, they have to come up with some alternates, but 12 people have been seated.
The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess, and you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by line. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family. He should be in trial. But he's the one in charge. His top people are here working with the DA's office to make sure everything goes right. But it shouldn't go right because they have no case. And that's what this is all about.
Well, they're going to go forward, I guess, and he's going to have to sit there for that trial for the coming weeks. And he talks about this, and I think Brian covered this earlier. Look, you're not campaigning then.
I'm supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial.
Selfishly, and I don't think this is going to happen, but selfishly, I hope he takes the stand because that, although we don't have cameras, but that still could be amazingly entertaining. Scott Jennings coming up, 97.1 FM Talk political insider. He's going to talk about some of this stuff, the Trump jury, the Mayorkas situation. We have amazing audio from Josh Hawley. Senator Hawley just ripped into the Senate procedure and Chuck Schumer today and this administration for its recklessness on the border. J. Peter Zane from Real Clear Investigations coming up in the next hour, plus an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.